Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. Would you like to sneak an extra week worth of productivity into your work year? Well, get positive with Butch Bella. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Butch Bella. He's a business coach and keynote speaker from Louisiana. He's the owner of mybizcoach.biz, which offers online resources for entrepreneurs, sales professionals, and small business owners and managers. He has been interviewed all over the place, and he's written two books. One is The 10 Essential Habits of Sales Superstars, Plugging into the Power of 10, and the other is Sales Management for Dummies. So since today is Thursday, Butch is here to teach us a lesson. He's going to be talking with us today about one of the habits he teaches in his book, The 10 Essential Habits of Sales Superstars, Plugging into the Power of 10, which is how to gain one full week a year without giving up vacation time. Butch, I think this is a lesson we all need to learn, and I know when my audience hears a little bit more about you, they'll understand how this truly became a passion of yours. So welcome to Motivate Me, Butch.
Thanks so much, Lynette. It's my pleasure to be here. I've really, really been looking forward to this and visiting and meeting your audience.
Now, I know you are a man of few words and all of that.
Yes.
But do you have words of inspiration that you've kept near and dear to you?
Yeah, I mean, one of my mantras is learn, practice, teach. I think we're all given a gift. I think God gives us a gift, and I think it's up to us to do everything we can with it. And I try to attack things from a learn, practice, teach mentality. And the interesting thing, Lynette, about that is that in the learn phase of it, I'm absorbing information, then I practice it. But here's the crazy part. I end up learning more in the teaching phase. And I tell people, if you've never studied a lesson harder than when you have to teach it. If you substitute teacher, if you've got to give a speech at work or do something, you're going to know that material. And so I love the mantra, learn, practice, teach.
Well, you know, I was a teacher.
So, oh, were you really?
Yeah. Yes. I was a teacher for 12 years. I taught high school English.
Right.
And so I 100%.
I was high school English teacher's worst nightmare.
So. Yes, I could imagine. Now, just so the audience knows, first of all, Butch, you sound like a country singer. Your voice on microphone, you sound like a country singer. I can assure you all, he is not.
but I do play one on TV.
Well, and it's funny because we met very briefly. However, it's one of those times where you go out to dinner with a group of people and the whole group just really hit it off. And all of us just felt like friends in a very quick period of time. And that is actually where I met Butch. So he is funny, and you're going to find out why in a second. Tell us now, what is your passion and how did it lead you to what you're going to teach us today?
Really, my passion is building other people into being better than what they thought they could be, if you will. I want to be a difference maker in this world. I feel like that I was put on this earth for a reason, and I know that may sound egotistical, but I honestly believe I was put on this earth to make a difference in people's lives. I know that you and I talked before the show about a quote of the day. And one of the quotes that I use a lot of times when I speak, my favorite quote is by Mother Teresa that says, "I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the water to create many ripples." And that's really what I set out to do every day, is to create ripples. Now, I don't necessarily think that we're supposed to know exactly how those ripples end up. I think we're just supposed to start the ball rolling. And so I just want to create ripples. I want to try to inspire people. Hopefully someone will take something from this program today and then inspire others to inspire others to inspire others.
I'm with you on that. I follow that same philosophy. And so, you know, why is time off so important to you?
Family. I've got three grown children, and I'll give you the Reader's Digest condensed version of Butch. I was hired into the wholesale distribution business at 21 years old, and I tell people I was so low on the ladder I had to get promoted twice before I could see the bottom rung. And the gentleman that hired me is still my mentor to this day. He and I talk probably once every couple of weeks. And I was hired at 21. I was a division sales manager at 25. I was vice president of sales at 30, and a business partner and I bought the company when I was 35. And we had grown it from about $35 million a year to almost a quarter of a billion a year in sales. And it was just a rocket ship ride, and it was every day on a treadmill, and it was just go, 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 go. And at 25 and at 26 and at 30, I was, you know, acting like and living like and working like I was 40 or 50 or 60, if you will. And I got to the top of that mountain and looked around and said, boy, this is not really the view that I thought I would see. And so in 2003, I sold my interest in that company and got to do a lot of fun stuff. I ran an arena football team. I had a five-year non-compete for that particular industry and worked in radio and TV. And then I formed my own training and development business and started speaking and so forth. That came from the fact that during that ascent in business, I did stand-up comedy for 10 years. And I never did it for a living, but I did it to a point to where it got to, I either had to decide to do it for a living or stop doing it. I was literally out there every weekend, probably 45 plus weekends a year for 10 years. And I would jump on a plane on Friday and go headline a club. And I almost said I got lucky, but it was not lucky for the guys that were trying to do it for a living. I was on the tail end of the comedy club boom at the early 90s, mid 90s, where a lot of clubs had gone from being week-long clubs to doing a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And for the guys that was their livelihood, that was horrible. For me, it played right into my hands. And I loved it. I was always the guy that everybody says, oh, you ought to be a comedian. Yeah. And so one night I went up to an open mic night and got that first laugh, Lynette. And it was just, I've never done hard drugs, but I can tell you, I can understand what heroin is like, because that first laugh is just, you've got to have more. And it's, you start chasing another thing on a treadmill. And over that 10 years, I kind of burnt myself out on comedy and dealing with drunks and clubs and so forth and all that good stuff and the travel. And I missed so much time away from my kids. So that's what I'm passionate about now at the time off, is the family.
Which, you know, you are a funny guy. I mean, just with the four of us sitting at dinner that night between, I mean, we just all had our own personalities coming in, and your one-liners were definitely.
They say that the average human only uses 10% of their brain, and I'm one of those rare people that only uses about 3%. So that's the 3% I use is totally useless too. So,
and it all comes out. There's no,
exactly. I have very little filter.
Okay, so tell us, what is the actual skill you're teaching us today then?
I'm going to show your listeners how to gain an entire week a year without having to give up any vacation time or do anything really to change how their work it goes.
And why is this important?
Well, I think all time is valuable, and I you know, I subscribe to a lot of the same newsletters. I'm sure a lot of your listeners do. And everybody talks about time management this and time management that. And I learned a long time ago, we cannot manage time. That clock's going to move whether you're doing something or not. You can try as hard as you want. You're not going to hold the hands back on it. And whether it's a clock or a calendar or whatever, it's moving forward. All we can do is manage how we spend that time.
That's so true. I mean, haven't you ever been going through, you know, a rough time? And I know you have. And, you know, I when that happens to me, I look around and I think, how is everybody else just functioning?
Right.
How are things still moving forward when this is what's going on right now?
Sure. We can only see to the end of our headlights. I heard us, I was at a conference this past weekend and about 20 of us gave, you know, we weren't at TED Talks. We couldn't call them TED Talks, but they were TED style talks. They were about 10 or 12 minutes long. And I gave one called Success is Just a Decision Away. And another gentleman gave one. He's a former fighter pilot on the three C's. And when a pilot gets in trouble or gets lost, they're taught the three C's: climb, conserve, and confess. So you climb to a higher altitude so you can see a runway at 30,000 feet that you couldn't see at 5. You conserve your energy and your resources, and you confess, hey, I got a problem. I need help up here. Well, I think sometimes that's what we need to do, is we get so caught up in that street level view, and we can only see past our headlights. That's it. And, you know, 5,000 feet gives you a little bit better view, but if you'll get up to 30,000 feet, you can go, okay, let me make some decisions now. I can see everything.
If you were to ever sing a country song, I think it should be titled, We Can Only See to the End of Our Headlights.
You know what? I may write that.
That's good.
We can only see to the end of our headlights.
See, there you go. There you go. I come up with really great ideas. Okay. So go ahead. Teach us this lesson, because I know it's one I need to learn.
Exactly. And it's so hard. It's so hard, but it's something. So everybody has something to write with. I'll give them time to get. Okay, here you go. Get to work 10 minutes early. What? I know half your listeners are going, this guy's kidding me. No, I'm not either. If you get to work 10 minutes early, I've done the math hundreds of times. I've had many people challenge me. If you get to work 10 minutes early over a 48-week work year, that's more than 40 hours a week of productive time that you pick up, that you are working and your competition doesn't even know you're there. So if you go to work tomorrow morning and let's just say that your most prized client you've been working on or waiting for or whatever is standing at the door with a checkbook in hand ready to buy or whatever, and you have to do anything but turn the lights on, you are not ready to do business. And it kills me to see people doing non-selling tasks during their selling hours or doing non-business busy work during your business hours. If you'll get to work 10 minutes early, I want you to use that time to get yourself spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically prepared for your day. Get your materials prepared. If you have salespeople, I can't count the number of times, Lynette, that I would jump in the car and take off and go, oh, crap, where am I going? You know, this is back before you had a map on your phone and you'd stop and get a map, or you jump in the car to go somewhere and you don't have all your materials ready. Here's what I have had people email me, write me, call me after I've spoke, or they've heard me speak on this subject, or they've read my book or whatever. And they say, that is the most amazing thing. They said, I thought you were so full of it. And they said, now I'm coming in 30 minutes early. But here's the thing. If you come in and you're going to just stand around the water cooler and talk about who got voted off the island or which bachelorette got picked or whatever, just stay home. But if you will go with the intention of having a positive, productive start to your day, you will literally gain one full week a year.
But does that mean that you can take that week off, or now are you just working more?
No. You can just be more productive in the time you have. Because what I want you to do is I want you to use that time in preparation. Because here's the thing, is the only way to succeed is to take action. Everything else is preparation. We cannot, Zig Ziglar used to say, if you wait till all the lights are green, you're going to spend the rest of your life right there at home. And too many people get paralysis by analysis. So your working daytime hours should be for taking action, for doing things positive, for moving your business forward, for doing things that inspire you. That use that 10 minutes for that time to get yourself ready for that, because up until then, everything is just preparation.
Okay, so I think I get what you're saying then, because I think I misunderstood. I thought you were saying, you know what, I can help you like literally get less time working. But I see what you're saying. You mean if you come in an extra 10 minutes a day, then it's going to gain you instead of, it's as if you worked for 53 weeks out of the year. Is that what you're
Absolutely.
Saying?
So if you want to take 4 weeks instead of 3 weeks of vacation, you still are going to get the same amount of work done.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Butch, do you have a resource that you could recommend to my listeners to check out that has to do with what we're talking about here?
Sure. Obviously, my book is one of them, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But the thing about it is I want people to start their day on a positive note. If they've not read Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod, don't walk, run. Get that book, because your morning sets the tone for your day. And I'm going to get off on a little bit of a tangent here, too. And I know you asked me about a resource. I'm going to get off on a tangent. But your morning sets the tone for your day. Your Monday sets the tone for your week. Okay? Your first week sets the tone for the month. It kills me that I see people all the time, especially on social media, Facebook, so forth. Literally on Monday, they start looking forward to Friday. And Friday night, they're not even out of the office yet, and they're already dreading Monday again. That is no way to go through. All you're doing is just wishing yourself one day closer to death. And that's not living. That's just, you're just getting by. And so you need to start your day on a positive note. Start your Monday. Make Monday your favorite day of the week. Lynette, I don't have time to dislike 20% of my work week.
You know, did you have this same philosophy before your heart attack?
Not probably as much. And I didn't have a heart attack. I had triple bypass surgery, and because that's a good question. And in 2009, here's how it all started. January 1st of 2009, I quit smoking after about 25 years of being. I was like a Shiite smoker. I was a good one. I mean, I defended smokers' rights. I mean, at one time I worked for a tobacco company, and I decided to quit smoking. Well, I was going to get healthy and all this stuff, so I started running a little bit. And one morning in May, I went out to one Saturday. I started to go out to run. Couldn't even get to the end of my driveway. Just felt like somebody was standing on my throat. And now my dad had his first heart attack at 44, so heart disease ran in my family. And I was 43 at the time. And I can remember, you know, thinking, okay, this is not good. Instinctively, I knew something was wrong. So I went back in and told my wife, keep an eye on me. And she freaks out. And, you know, she calls my doctor, who's a personal friend of mine. He said, look, I'm going to call him in some nitrostat. If he has a twinge, if he does anything, you call. Don't take him to the hospital. You call the ambulance. You call 911. And he said, if not, you have him in my office first thing Monday morning. And so, you know, it's one of those things. I didn't want to be a big wuss. I didn't want to run to the hospital, you know, all this kind of stuff and freak everybody out. But
that's exactly why people die from heart attacks.
I know. And since then, I have been the biggest proponent to men of don't feel like you're a weenie. Listen to your body. And so Monday morning, I go into his office. They put me on a stress test. I failed it. They take me in for a heart cath. And the whole time, they told me, they said, pack for like one night, you know, in the hospital. But, you know, you'll probably be home by dinner. And so they do the heart cath. And, I mean, they showed me a stent. And he said, look, if we find anything, you know, we'll probably be able to stent it at your age and all this kind of good stuff. And he showed me a stent. So, I mean, I'm sitting there, okay. You know, I was grumpy because I couldn't have caffeine. It was one of those don't eat or drink anything before we do this sort of thing. So late that afternoon, after the heart cath, he comes in. He says, Cowboy, we got a little more work to do than I thought. I said, what do you mean? And he had a little mimeographed copy of the heart and had all these little colored in spots. And I had a 70, 280s, and a 90% blockage. And I said, so what does that mean? And he said, that means you're fixing to have open heart surgery. And I said, oh, really? When? And this was like Monday evening at 5 o'clock. He said, if I could get you in tomorrow morning, we'd do it then. We're doing it Wednesday morning. So I had like 36 hours to get ready for heart surgery. And it did change my perspective a little bit on time and the things that I placed importance on. So yeah, that was certainly a determining factor, but it also spurred me along to do things, Lynette, that I had on my quote unquote to-do list, write my book, finish my book, start speaking and training. All of that happened after I had my heart surgery.
Well, because you sold a very successful business, right? So it's not like you needed to be out there working if you didn't want to be.
Well, I mean, I couldn't have retired. I mean, I still needed to work. I'll be one of those people, I don't think I'll ever retire. Let me say this. I wanted to work.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you wanted to, you probably could have just been more on the down low instead of, I mean, you are in hyper mode.
Right. And here's the thing I'll tell you is I can remember one day on cardiac rehab, and I tell people that the surgeon corrected the mess up that I'd done over the previous 43 years. But my cardiac rehab angels, I called them, really saved my life because they taught me, you know, what not to do anymore. And I'll never forget one day I was in there and it's me and a bunch of like 80-year-old men. And, you know, and I told everybody, you know, you had the book Sweating. Richard Simmons had Sweating to the Oldies. I was sweating with the oldies. And so they've got me on a treadmill and I can literally walk just like this slow pace. And they've got me hooked up to all these monitors and they just walk and then just so slow. And I'm just driving, it's driving me crazy. And so this young African-American gentleman walked up. He's one of the cardiac rehab nurses, trainers there. And he says, his name was Dominique. He said, Butch, what are you in here for? And I said, I had heart surgery. And he said, no, what are you in here for? And I said, cardiac rehab? And he said, no, what are you in here for? And it hit me. I mean, this guy's wanting to know, what am I going to do with this? Mm-hmm. What's my why now? And Lynette, I don't know where it came from, if it was divine intervention. It's not something I'd been thinking about. I said, I want to run a 5K. And by the time I said it, I'm thinking, what the hell did I just say? And he said, I'll never forget. And I get chill bumps thinking about it. I'll never forget. He looked at me and he said, we're not going to let heart surgery stop us. We're not going to let heart surgery stop us. So now I had an accountability partner.
Right.
And literally I went from being able to walk 10 seconds at a time to 30 seconds at a time to a minute at a time. And then they let me, you know, get up to run. 190 days after heart surgery, I ran my first 5K in 36 minutes and 45 seconds.
And you've done multiple marathons since that, right?
I've done 2 half marathons since then.
Okay.
And totally just changed
my
life.
You can tell, Butch, how much I know about running, too. So apparently.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I knew that much going in.
Right.
I couldn't have told you a 5K from a 500-lap race at Daytona. But it was one of those things I just got passionate about. And then ran my second half marathon in 2014 and then had back surgery. And I tell everybody I fell off the wagon and got run over by it. So now I'm trying to get myself back in shape.
You are a prime example, though, for my listeners, of somebody who has multiple passions. Even when you were working and you had your own business and how you moved up the ladder, that's a passion. That was a passion at the time, you know,
right.
Running, comedy, your family. These are all passions for you.
I'm one of those people that I will never look back when I'm 80 years old and go, you know, I wish I'd have tried that.
Exactly.
Pretty much anything in my life that I've wanted to do, I've just gone out and done. I don't know any other way to do these things. And I worked in radio in high school. In high school, I went and got a job at the radio station. I wanted to be a rock and roll DJ. I played music when I was younger and actually had some hair. And, you know, all my friends say, man, you always get the fun jobs. Well, no, that's the jobs I wanted.
That's the job you went for. I mean,
exactly. That's the one I went and applied for. That's right. Why I had the fun job. You know?
I talk about it all the time. And when I'm on the road, I'm going to be speaking about bringing passion into your life and living a life by design.
You know, it's so interesting you say that, Lynette, because I just mentioned those talks we gave this the other day in Texas. Mine was success is a decision away. And I think that, you know, once you make a decision to be successful, everything else is just follow through. When I decided to quit smoking, something in the recesses of my brain, I became a non-smoker right then. All I had to do then was just follow through with that decision. But for some reason, when we look at success, if you and I were to get in the car today and drive to Los Angeles, we could get there. Now, we're probably going to have to stop and change a tire, but we're not turning around and coming home. We're probably going to stop for gas, but we're not turning around. We're probably going to stop and rest. We may have a breakdown. If we get to Tucson and the roads closed, we're not going to just pack up and come back home. But for some reason, when people are looking for a goal or success, the first time they have a flat or hit a speed bump or hit a detour or whatever it is, well, I guess it's not meant for me. No. Dr. Randy Pausch in the last lecture said the brick walls are not there to keep you out. They're there to keep the other people out. They're there to see how bad you want it. So don't let a detour become a derail.
Very good. I agree. You know, I agree with this so much. I mean, you know, you're making me nervous now about all the things that could happen on the 50-state tour. But other than that, you know I'm going to keep
going.
But
just don't let a detour become a derail.
No, we would never do that. But, you know, you're talking here really about positivity and productivity.
Oh, so, and they go hand in hand. You're so right.
Right. And you know, I'm all about envision, explore, execute a plan. Those are my three steps. And you just said it's all about action. So I'm going to move you right into this Motivate Me Express to Success 60-second responses here. But to be more productive and positive, what should people envision or see for themselves?
Focus on today. If you set a GPS for New York City, all it's going to do is get you out of your driveway first. Once you make a decision to go somewhere, don't worry about the end destination. Just worry about the first step.
Really, what you're saying there too, Butch, is live in the present. Be present.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So then to explore, what can they do for that?
One of the things that I recommend always is list the tasks that can be done one by one. List the tasks singularly, each simple task. And then if there's any task that can be done by someone other than you, let them do it.
I like it. So break everything down into smaller chunks so it doesn't seem so overwhelming, and outsource, which I am bad at.
And as my mentor, the gentleman I told you that hired me, used to say, Butch, remember these three little words, delegate.
Oh, that's what I need to be doing. I was just thinking that before this call. Okay, execute a plan. First step.
Make a decision. Take action. I just went through and read Think and Grow Rich again for about the 20th time. And for so many years, I thought that book was about what the mind can conceive and believe it can achieve. I always thought it was about mind. That book's about taking action. So do something. Move forward. Get yourself moving toward your goal.
You know what's funny about that is that book is on my nightstand right now, and I haven't been able to get through it. Why? Because I'm too busy taking action. So now I don't feel so bad, because every night I go to bed and I'm too tired from working 14 hours today to read it.
Right. And here's the thing.
Now I don't feel as bad.
I read it with a book club, kind of a group of people that would get together every Sunday night.
Right.
And it was so interesting because people would have different takes on a chapter. And I think I went into it because I'd read it before. I think I went into it almost one of those type things, thinking I knew what it was going to say and thinking it was all about mindset. And it was about all that's all good, but you got to take action to make something happen.
And that's the beauty of books. And you can think that for yours, for your two that you've written, and also for the country song that you're going to write.
You're right. Because here's the thing, Lynette. I mean, to kind of put a bow on this, you cannot take, and people always say, well, I may mess up. Well, guess what? You can't take corrective action until you take action.
Yeah, but the thing is that people come to everything in life with their own experiences and their own knowledge. So when people read your books or people read Napoleon Hill's book, you know, they're going to take something different from it. They're going to perceive that book differently.
Yeah, everything is vetted through everybody's own lens. That's why I think I probably got a lot out of reading it with this group.
And I think, Butch, that's why people get a lot out of reading that book over and over, because it means something different to you in each stage of your life.
Or things like your podcast, Lynette, them hearing your take on things or your guests and getting different viewpoints. And, you know, the more information that you've got, I've always said the one with the most information wins. And in 2016, there is no excuse in the world not to know anything you want to know. I mean, you can darn near learn brain surgery on YouTube these days. So the information is out there. It's up to you to go get it.
Please don't do it at home.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So what kind of closing advice do you have for everybody about being productive and being positive? Because that really, truly is, I feel, who you are, Butch.
Well, I tell you, my best closing advice is a quote that I use quite a bit, and it's on a lot of my my branding materials and so forth. And I end pretty much every speech with it. You can make an excuse or you can make a difference. And the amount of energy required is about the same.
Nice. Very nice. That's powerful. I feel like we all do make a difference. And so be intentional about it. You know, I think I was thinking today, so many people don't realize that they do make a difference. They think they don't, but they do. And be intentional about it.
If every person in this world helped one other person, just one other person, we could solve every problem society has, whether it's hunger, whether it's illiteracy, whether it's disease, now, I don't care what it is. If one person would just reach out and help one other person, that's all it takes. Just you don't have to make a big difference. The title of one of my speeches is Don't Worry About Changing the World, Change Your World. Look around you. What's happening in your neighborhood? What's happening on your block, in your town, in your department, in your company? Don't worry about changing the world. Don't tell me what you can't do with ISIS and all the third world hunger and all that stuff. Don't tell me what you can't do. Let's focus on what you can do.
I know you're doing a great job out there helping companies with what they're doing. So let's put your contact information out there now.
Sure.
Go ahead.
They can email me. It's Butch, B-U-T-C-H. At butchbella.com, B-U-T-C-H-B-E-L-L-A-H.com. There's an H on the end of Bella. You can find me on Twitter at mybizcoachbutch, M-Y-B-I-Z-C-O-A-C-H, Butch. Facebook, we have got a Facebook page at mybizcoach. But for your listeners, if they will go to mybizcoach.biz, and that's mybizcoach.biz/motivateme, they can download a free copy of my first book, The 10 Essential Habits of Sales Superstars, plugging into the Power of 10 that has all 10 of those habits, including the one about gaining that extra week a year.
That's awesome. I appreciate that so much. And I made you a part of our Motivate Me Ultimate Support System too, so people can reach out to you there and you can leave some comments. I'm sure we'll get some humor out of you there and some insight and some meaningful commentary at the same time.
Well, I'm sure I'll be kicked out in a week or so. So
I want to thank you so much. It was so great talking to you, Butch.
Lynette, it was my pleasure. I get to do a lot of these interviews and I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much. And it was such a pleasure meeting you in Austin. And I was kind of a little bit under the weather that weekend, so I didn't get to spend as much time with everybody as I would have liked to. But it's been a pleasure meeting you and getting to know you. And I hope that your listeners continue to support what you do, because I have the easy job. I just come on here and answer some questions and talk, which is easy for me to do, as you can tell. But thank you for what you do to motivate people and to keep people looking at the positive and finding solutions instead of problems. Because folks, problem finders are a dime a dozen. Problem solvers will change this world.
I agree with you, and thank you so much. That's so sweet. So let's do one more thing.
All right.
It's the end of the show, everybody, and we want to give you a go-do. What can you go do today to start being more productive and more positive? Butch, what do you have for them?
I want you to make a list of the top 10 people in your life that impact you. And whether that's family, whether that's employees, whether it's employers, whether it's customers, make a list of the top 10 people that impact you or that influence you, and just let them know how much you appreciate what they do and that you're glad to be a part of their life.
I love that. I love it. That's the end of the show, everybody. Please remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.